Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network for this Monday, January the 16th. A mere 5 days away.
5 days.
From the presidential inauguration of Donald J. Trump. And so we're going to be talking about that. New president coming up in just 5 days will be sworn in Washington, D.C. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
What are you doing over there?
I'm getting our Facebook page ready. We're live streaming on Facebook. So if you want to watch the show, you can go to, over to Facebook, Today's Issues Facebook page, or you can go to AFR.net and live stream.
You're going to be posting the articles that we talk about?
Yes, sir.
Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com in studio. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Exciting week. Exciting week. It really is.
I'm going to be there.
I know. That'll be terrific.
Walker's going to be there. Mm-hmm. We're going to the inauguration. The plans are to watch the parade on Thursday. I was just looking at the weather. It's supposed to rain in D.C. Friday. Who knows? You know, the weather can change tomorrow or the next day for Friday, but right now it looks like it might rain. But
now we're used to seeing the scene of the swearing in. You know, everybody is like, there are thousands out
right
in
mm-hmm.
front there.
Right.
Now, is that where you plan to be in that area?
Well, I don't know. Probably not. We're going to be there to watch the parade.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Which comes afterwards.
Yeah, you have to have a ticket to be close up of one of those, I believe you do, to be one of those thousands of people in front of the Capitol steps. That's where the swearing-in ceremony takes place, on the western side of the Capitol, western mm-hmm. steps. And so that's going to take place. Then they'll have the traditional luncheon mm-hmm. in Statuary Hall inside the Capitol building, and then the parade that afternoon. So that's what I was going to say. I don't know if it's raining. Who knows?
Yeah.
If it's raining hard, maybe they'll have to do that with the president inside the car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see, Walker.
We're going to be kind of in a building on Pennsylvania Avenue, but we'll be able to watch the parade on TV. I'm sorry. We'll be able to watch the inauguration, the swearing in on television.
Right.
And we'll kind of be able to see, you know, the mall, the tail end of the mall. Mm-hmm. But then we'll be able to see
Trump, the parade.
What will be President Trump and Pence.
It's quite a day. What I understand is that Mr. and Mrs. Trump go over to the White House, and they have tea mm-hmm. With President Obama and his wife, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And then they both get into a vehicle and drive over to the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, I guess after the swearing in, then former President Obama and his wife mm-hmm. are taken out to Edwards Air Force Base. And there's still that
Andrews.
And there's still this mystery. They're going to board Air Force One, but the White House is not saying where they're taking him. In the past, like with George W. Bush, they took him back out to Texas. He got a ride mm-hmm. on Air Force One. And Reagan, I guess, went out to California.
Mm-hmm.
But no one knows, because the Obamas are staying. They're renting a house in Washington, D.C.
Oh, you're talking about after President Trump's – when Trump becomes the president.
Yeah.
After sworn in.
So all
maybe
we
they're
know –
just going for a ride.
That's the mystery.
You know, I really would not be surprised if they just go on vacation somewhere for a week or so.
Uh-huh. What a way to start your vacation.
Yeah.
A little ride on Air Force One.
Well, it's going to be, we were looking at the city as it's being the security. Because you got protesters are expected in D.C. They're threatening to shut the city down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the far left anarchists, those people. They're the ones who are making these kinds of threats. Of course, conservatives never threaten to shut down a city or protest an inauguration to where it disrupts the pomp and ceremony and patriotic symbolism of what that day means. But the people on the far left, they have no regard for law and order.
No.
They are. If you've ever been around those people when they're out protesting, They are just the look in their eyes. It's just these conservative protests. These conservatives that go and protest, you know, things like the Tea Party, for example, they're known for picking up their trash. You know, and being orderly. These people on the far left, far from it. They're anarchists. They will disrupt. They will provoke fights with the police. They will do anything. They have no regard for decency or manners or decorum or anything like that. No. It's the end justifies the means for them. So we'll see what they do. But my point is, in thinking about all this, Walker and I were do you call it the perimeter?
Yeah.
That the Secret Service has set up.
It's a secure area. Everything inside of that.
And it extends out six blocks or so, doesn't
it? Yeah. 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 They have what they do is they do just like they did at the RNC, the Republican National Convention. And I'm sure they did at the DNC also. They set up a literal fence. They bring in a temporary fence that they set up all the way around,
right,
within probably a mile or two, one or two square miles, right,
of the Capitol and the where the parade's going to take place.
Right.
So this is going to be a extremely secure place, mm-hmm. and they're bringing in National Guard and police from around the country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a security presence is going to be visible all over the city. And the perimeter they're going to establish is going to be hard for these protesters. Maybe one or two of them will slip in.
Yeah,
I can see one or two of them running out in the street when the inaugural parade is coming by. By the way, there's going to be bands.
You know, that
high school bands.
That's a bad idea. You know, because running out in the street in Chicago or something during some kind of little protest is one thing. Running out on the street, you know, with Secret Service and stuff. But I'm not saying
you could die.
Yeah.
You could die. You could be shot, or your head could be bashed in the pavement.
That's a threat.
Because I saw the Secret Service gentleman talking about it. He said, "We're not playing."
Yeah.
We're not playing.
They already have their hands full enough.
They're not going to, if you run out there in the parade, they're not going to say, "Come on, guy.
Yeah.
Come on over here." You know, they're going to get you. So, but the perimeter they've established is going to keep a lot of this kind of stuff from the main stage, as it were. So your protesters are going to be outside. They'll be around, but I don't think they're going to be able to, quote, shut down the city.
Right.
So, but it's going to be, you know, Fred, as you know, a presidential inauguration is a time where Americans can see with their own eyes the peaceful transition of power.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing thing to see where a lot of places in the world, it's one military coup after another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One revolution after
another. The history behind it is very rich also, the traditions that go on with the transition. So, I wish we could just at least get along on the transition day, you would think so.
And that has been the norm over the years. You know, there's the weeping and wailing after an election.
Right.
But usually by the time you get to inauguration day, hey, listen, this is our president. Mm-hmm. And whether Democrat or Republican, let's get behind him. It's a day to celebrate, as you say, the peaceful transition from one presidency to another. Mm-hmm. And it's always amazing. I was listening to an interview this morning with Vice President-elect Pence, and he was talking about he and his family really looking forward to it. You know, when he is sworn in, Justice Clarence Thomas is going to swear him in. And the Bible is going to be the same Bible that Ronald Reagan had when he was sworn in.
Wow.
It's so much tradition. It's going to turn, is it 2 Chronicles 7:14? They want the Bible open to that.
Wow.
One of his favorite verses. So it's going to be exciting. It really
and
is.
And I believe Reverend Franklin Graham is going to be praying. And probably several others.
Yes, there are several
Franklin
pastors.
Graham is going to be delivering
a prayer.
Well, there's a prayer.
Yeah, I believe it at 9:30 or 10:30, they start kind of music and, you know, the ceremonies before leading it up to the inauguration.
Right.
Toby Keith, the country superstar, is going to sing at the inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he's going to sing, but he was asked by the president. He said, "I will perform to honor our country or honor the military."
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about celebrities and, you know, singers not going to the inauguration because they're afraid it could hurt their career. You know, because Hollywood is so far left, they're afraid that it might hurt their career, and so they don't want to go. But I guess for Toby Keith, you know, he's a country musician, and that's a pretty conservative audience for the most part, and he's already well-established. I mean, Toby Keith doesn't have to make a house payment.
Right.
Okay, so he's been around, what, 15 years or so, so he's made his money, so he doesn't have to make the considerations that some of them do on how this will affect their career. So he will be there. And they, as I mentioned, the wonderful thing about it in the parade is you have college and high school bands.
It's going to be really all over the country.
In fact, our city where we broadcast out of, Tupelo High School, is sending their marching band.
And they raise their own money.
Hmm. Yes.
These bands.
And then the Tuskegee. No, it's not Tuskegee. What is the
Talladega?
Talladega.
Yeah.
It's African American school college in
liberal arts, very well established.
Yeah, in Alabama, they're sending their marching band. I don't know what all the marching bands are from there, from all over the country. Mm-hmm. There was some criticism. I saw the gentleman who's the president of the school, of the Talladega school and the college. It's a college.
Yeah.
And again, an African American college, and He said he had taken some heat for his students going to perform. But, you know, because you're going to the inauguration as a band does not mean that you support or have endorsed or agree with the policies of the president, whoever he or she may be, he may be, I guess, for now, because all you're saying is you're participating in a ceremony that honors the freedom, liberty, and what's best about America. So I don't see why people can't see the difference.
Yeah.
There. So anyway, go ahead.
There are 20 Democrats who say they're going to boycott the inauguration. This in the wake of some
you mean
comments,
not come?
They're not to going the, to go.
Okay.
All right. This in the wake of some controversy that's been created by Congressman John Lewis of Georgia. He was interviewed by NBC, and he was on Meet the Press, which aired on Sunday. But the interview was recorded ahead of time, so news broke even before the interview. He made this comment. He didn't see the president-elect as, quote, the legitimate president, end quote, as well as blaming Russian hacking for helping him, Trump, get elected. So he doesn't consider Donald Trump a legitimate president. And, you know, he's catching a lot of flack for that. Wait a minute. What do you mean you don't consider him a legitimate president? He was elected. You know.
Well, Trump hit him back on Twitter.
Yeah. He did.
Trump said, you need to worry about your own congressional district. It's in bad shape.
Uh-huh.
I'm basically paraphrasing.
Accurate. That's pretty accurate on what he said. And what I think in some of these instances, Trump is baited in to a confrontation with someone who has some good things on their resume, like Rep. John Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
But Trump fired back, which he does often. But the media and even some Republicans are acting like this is Trump's fault, that he replied to this insult, that he's not a legitimate president.
Yeah.
Well, what you got is John Lewis, the representative from Atlanta area, was a hero in the civil rights movement.
Yes.
And so he has a lifetime pass for anything he says is not to be criticized or else you're a racist.
Right.
Well, I don't buy that, but I think you can respect a man's history as John Lewis and what he did in the civil rights movement. It doesn't mean he's right on everything for the rest of his life,
right,
or he's beyond criticism. What he says was wrong, he said President-elect Trump is not a legitimate president. Mm-hmm. Well, now, if I were Trump, I would just ignore that kind of stuff. You know, but Trump doesn't do well at ignoring criticisms, but he's going to have to start ignoring this kind of stuff. He's got too much on his plate to do, yeah. and he needs to lift himself to the office to the level of the president. And you can't, president can't be tweeting, in my opinion, you know, about everybody's criticism of him mm-hmm. all the time.
Well, so. Congressman, the Congressman John Lewis, being criticized from a lot of different quarters. Alveda King was on Fox this morning, and she is from the Atlanta area. She's from Congressman Lewis's district, and she was critical of him saying that. You know, praise him for what he's done in the past with regards to civil rights, but listen, Trump is the legitimate president. Juan Williams interviewed this morning on Fox, and Juan Williams is that one of those liberal voices that mm-hmm. they talk to. He was critical of Congressman Lewis. You don't need to be saying these sorts of things. This is a time to celebrate, to get behind this president. There'll be plenty of opportunities to criticize the yeah. the president when he takes office. Plenty of opportunity.
Well, what John Lewis, the congressman, said was, who criticized Trump, said he's not a legitimate president, was that the Russians did it.
Yeah.
That the Russians cost Hillary Clinton the presidency, and so that's why he says Donald Trump is not legitimate. And so... but, you know, when you say something like that, you should expect
a response.
Blowback. Yeah. So you can't say just because there's a response or a blowback to your comments saying the president is not legitimate, don't hide, you know, I'm not saying John Lewis is, I don't know, but some of them are placing him behind the civil rights shield. And so you how dare you criticize this hero of the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
Well, he said, I'm an illegitimate president, so I have a right to defend myself. That's basically what Mike Pence said of President-elect Trump. He said he has a right to defend himself. But again, if I'm Trump, man, you got it. At some point, you just start. I would just stop commenting on people who criticize you. You're raising them to your level when you're the president of the United States. Maybe there's a time and place for that from now on. But from now on, I would just say, don't respond to everything. It's beneath you.
Yeah, so but can you imagine the outcry if a white representative said that in 2009 that Obama's...
was illegitimate?
Yeah, his presidency was illegitimate.
Mm-hmm. No, I can't imagine that.
Right.
So, double standard.
Yeah. Double standard.
Imagine that.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio Network. We are live video streaming at Facebook Live. You can go there, and Walker will be posting the articles we're talking about. Are you going to, so that one you just, Congressman Lewis, mm-hmm. Are we going to put that on One News Now too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got something else related to the inauguration, right?
Well, this news kept unfolding through the weekend. Jennifer Holliday, who is well-known on Broadway, she was to sing the national anthem. She
had agreed to.
Agreed to do it. But over the weekend, she said, you know, I talked to my friends in the LGBT so on and so on community, and they're good friends of mine. They've really helped my career, so I'm not going to sing. I just respect them too much. I'm just not going to sing.
So the LGBT people consider Donald Trump to be their enemy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Hmm. So she's saying, this, I think she's won a Tony.
Yes.
On Broadway. She's a very well-known singer. And you know what? She agreed to come, and then she backed out. Then she said, I wasn't educated on the issue, right?
Here's what she said. Please know that I hear you and I feel your pain.
She's talking about LGBT?
Mm-hmm.
She feels their pain?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She hears you? Okay, they're in pain, and she feels it. And what now?
The LGBT community was mostly responsible for birthing my career, and I am deeply indebted to you. You have loved me faithfully and unconditionally, and for so many years you provided me with work, even though my star had long since faded.
Man, if all she's got is 1% of the population, is her fan base.
Well,
what's ironic here is they got... same-sex marriage was ruled constitutional by the Supreme Court last year, and they're still crying wolf as if something's still wrong. What's wrong here? Mm-hmm. What do they want? What do they want this singer to do for them?
Well,
to further their
agenda? You, they think Mike Pence is a bigot. All right, the governor the vice president-elect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he's a strong Christian.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I can get to your point in just a minute, Walker, but to answer your question. So the LGBT crowd, they think Mike Pence is he's Hitler. All right. Now, Trump selects Mike Pence, therefore,
by extension,
they're two bigots together. Even though Trump is not known over his career as having anything to do with opposing or advocating for mm-hmm. that, LGBT mm-hmm. issues. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't think Trump has any feeling one way or another on this. At least that he's expressed a lot. He thinks we need to be tolerant. Mm-hmm. of LGBT, but I don't think he quite understands the culture war that's going on out there on this particular issue. So Mike Pence does, okay? So Mike Pence is, been an advocate for
religious freedom.
Religious freedom. Although Mike Pence got a little wobbly kneed mm-hmm. in the Indiana fight about a year ago or so, whenever that was. But anyway, to answer your question, why does LGBT fear Trump? Because they fear Pence, they fear Jeff Sessions, and if you don't bow down to LGBT and mm-hmm. say we're not worthy of your status in life, then you are not.
Yeah, unless you advance their agenda, you're their enemy.
Yeah.
So if you remain neutral and don't comment and kind of stay out,
there's neutrality.
Do their own thing, then you are an enemy.
So what we're saying is the crowd that preaches tolerance is really, really, really intolerant.
Yeah, and this is moved. This has moved from tolerance to now acceptance, forced acceptance.
Right.
Yeah. There's no more. Just tolerate us, and we'll be fine.
No. If you don't say you agree with the political and social agenda of LGBT, you're a bigot.
Yeah.
Right.
That's just either you do or you don't. There's no allowance for it. Well, hate the sin, love the sinner. They don't believe in that kind of stuff. Either you bow the knee to their movement, or they will try to ruin your life, as we've seen in many
cases. And they have worked hard with the cooperation of the Obama Justice Department to bring in, to expand anti-discrimination laws to include people like the Kleins out there on the West Coast.
So this Jennifer Holliday, a star on Broadway, she had agreed to sing she's best known for her Tony-winning role in Broadway's Dreamgirls. She agreed to sing the national anthem, and then she backed out a couple of days ago because the LGBT community told her not to do it, and she said, okay. I won't do it. I won't sing at the... But interesting, she had said quotes... that basically she voted for Hillary Clinton, and the Trump campaign knew that she voted for Hillary Clinton, but that this was a patriotic thing to do. That's basically what she was saying. That's the reason she agreed to do it, was you can have your own beliefs and still participate in the inauguration. But she learned very quickly, no, you can't.
So this is going to be the narrative. Trump, his administration is not diverse enough. They don't have enough differing views on things. But the reason they're not diverse enough is because all of the diverse opinions they try to bring in, they won't come.
Right, right. You mean for the inauguration?
Yeah, like she would have been, someone who voted for Hillary Clinton but comes and performs at Trump's inauguration, but she won't come.
Well, inauguration is going to happen whether Hollywood comes to it or not. It's going to happen, and it's going to be a big day on Friday in Washington, D.C., as a new president is put into office. And then, I don't know when it'll hit President-elect Trump. Like maybe the first night he spends the night in the White House, he goes, I won. Now the hard part starts, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
All right, we will be back after the break with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
Oh. On the next edition of Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dan Gaynor of the Media Research Center.
Fake news stories are the shark attacks of 2016. The same media feeding frenzy, but it's more risk to the rest of us. But for people like Hillary Clinton, this isn't putting lives at risk, it's putting lies at risk.
That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and online at AFR.net.
Hey, do you want to go on a vacation with a purpose? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. A lot of people love to go to the beach. I'm one of them. How about the mountains? Yeah, a lot of folks are raising their hand right now when I say the mountains. Well, this year, why don't you go with us on a spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and have a vacation with an educational and a spiritual purpose? If you'd like to go with us in June or September to D.C. and Mount Vernon, or our separate tour to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, we'd love to have you join us. Just find out all the information at spiritualheritagetours.com. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will join us as our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way on our rich Christian heritage here in the U.S. We hope you can join us, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. Congressman John Lewis is a civil rights hero. He was bloodied and beaten so that all men might be free, and he should be honored for his bravery and sacrifice. But over the past decade, Congressman Lewis has developed a nasty habit of smearing his political opponents as racist. He warned that Mitt Romney would bring back segregation, compared Senator John McCain and Sarah Palin to George Wallace, did the same thing to Donald Trump. But his racially charged comments over the weekend crossed the line.
I don't see this president-elect as a legitimate president.
Had Senator McCain said that about President Obama, I have no doubt he would have been forced from office. Congressman Lewis should understand such offensive rhetoric diminishes his stature, stains his legacy. Now is the time for patriots, for statesmen. And by the way, George Wallace was a Democrat, not a Republican. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
All right, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman with Fred Jackson. And you can watch the show at Facebook Live if you want to. We're also posting the articles that we're talking about here, stories that we're talking about, so you can have them for yourself. Jeremy Wiggins is in studio with us as he joins us each Monday. Jeremy, tell us about your weekend show and when it airs.
It's called In the Trenches. It airs Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. Central Time. So
you get up to listen to your own show, Jeremy?
What kind of host would I be if I wasn't up at least 2 hours early drinking my cup of devotion coffee from American
Family
Coffee?
So you do that live?
No. We do a lot of recording just because it's not that I have an aversion to get up at 6 a.m. to come in and do the show, but my guests, they, on the other hand,
right,
you
hard
know,
to get them scheduled.
Yeah, or they were going, yeah, that sounds great. What are we talking about?
So In the Trenches airs on American Family Radio Saturdays at 6 a.m. Central.
That's right. And if you don't feel like getting up, we would always welcome you to go to AFR.net and download the podcast for not only my show, but every show that's on American Family Radio. And if I may, Tim...
You may, Jeremy.
For those who are listening out there, I invite you to come back here. I know you've got it locked in all day, but come back at 5 o'clock this afternoon. I'll be filling in for Crane Durham on Nothing But Truth. So,
you're going to give us Nothing But Truth today?
Nothing But Truth.
All right.
All day long, twice on Sundays.
All right. What do you got? What's on the horizon there?
Well,
in the Wiggins world.
Well, today is Martin Luther King Day, which my bank's website's been down all day, so that's nothing but frustrating because I can't go there to talk to anybody because the banks are closed. But this is the recognition of all the hard work that Martin Luther King did. It's celebrated every year around his birthday, January 15th. I've got a story here that was put out by the Washington Times, though, that's commenting on President Obama's legacy concerning race relations. I thought it was an interesting and timely topic, considering today is a celebration of a man who gave his life to improving race relations and equality, true equality, here in the United States. And the interesting thing, Tim, from this Washington Times is the citing of a new poll that's come out, and it says more than half of adults say race relations in the United States have worsened under President Obama. 53% of respondents said race relations have gotten worse under the first black president, according to a Bloomberg Politics poll. So this isn't, you know, this isn't just me walking up and down the street asking a couple of my neighbors. This is Bloomberg Politics. 9% think they've gotten better, and 36% say they've stayed the same. Now, President Barack Obama, in an interview with George Stephanopoulos, recently stated that he thinks that race relations have improved greatly, just like everything else, apparently, like the healthcare system and our economy and, you know, everything else that's not really doing as well as the president thinks. But, you know, Tim, the interesting thing was the reasons he cited for why he thought race relations were better in the United States. And his reasoning was, he thinks they're better is because we're talking about it more. because this hard topic is being discussed, that automatically improves the quality of race relations here. Even though, you know, you have his not well soon to be ex attorney general, because they've only got a couple of more days left of Loretta Lynch. She was in Chicago last night, and she just slapped the Chicago PD up and down, saying that there is rampant abuse running in the Chicago.
Who did that?
Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General of the United States, for what, 4 more days.
She went to Chicago to criticize the police department.
Yep, yeah, she went to Chicago. She was there last night. She says, quote, "Police issues are this era's civil rights struggle, and a year-long federal investigation into the Chicago police force has identified a pattern of excessive force, especially in predominantly black and Hispanic neighborhoods."
You know why they may be using excessive force? Because they're dealing with these mafia gangs in Chicago who just kill people at will.
Yeah.
That's why they're probably using excessive force.
Well, her civil rights department of the Justice Department just a few days before did the same thing in Baltimore, attacking police officers there and laying out what they call a new plan as to how police officers are to engage citizens. And I tell you what, remember a few weeks ago on this program, we talked about a new Pew Research poll that was out there. Mm-hmm. They talked to 8,000 police officers, and these police officers, whether Chicago, Baltimore, or other major cities, are all saying because of the Obama Justice Department, we're reluctant to go into certain areas. We're reluctant to take any action. Even if we think criminal activity is underway, we're reluctant to do it because if we shoot somebody, we're going to be questioned by the Justice Department.
Yeah, one way you don't fix crime in Chicago is to go in and tell the police officers they need to be a little softer.
Yeah.
That's not going to fix the crime.
They don't carry guns anymore. They carry stuffed animals, apparently. Right. And when violence is happening or they have to make an arrest, they distract the person with a fluffy bunny.
Right.
And then they can't, well, I don't know, they won't be able to use handcuffs anymore. So they ask them politely, with please and thank you, to get in the back of the squad car. And if
Dr. Ray Pritchard, who co-hosts with us on Tuesdays and Thursdays most weeks, he lived in Chicago for 20-plus years as a pastor, and he mentions this. He went back to Chicago for a meeting a couple months back, and he talked to a gentleman who was on the police force there in Chicago, and he said Ray asked him, well, how's it going? Is it really as bad as what's being reported because of all the, you know, the shooting deaths and the murder rate in Chicago is just out of control and highest among any big city in America, I think. And this police officer from Chicago told Ray it's far worse than it's being reported. And basically he described no-go zones in the Chicagoland area because police are fearful for their lives. And also, they get no support. Mm-hmm. So, if you think that you're going to, if you got gangs running crazy in large segments of Chicago, for example, and you have, if you're a policeman, you want to go, especially if you're a white policeman, but if you're a policeman just in general, you want to go stop and confront a young black male.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're wrong, if something happens and goes awry, it doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong in your reaction, your life is over. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that so? These policemen are taking a hands-off approach and I guess only responding to a lot of times to 911 calls. And even then, I don't know how excited they are about going and confronting a situation. Now, you could argue, well, then they need to get out of that line of work if they're just not going to do their job. Mm-hmm. But
I think there is such a thing that you can do as proactive policing and community relations that can be done by a police department. The problem is, though, your local beat cop does not have the support of the attorney general and does not have the support of the president of the United States. Now, I don't think anybody here at the table would deny that there is an issue that goes on here, or that somehow magically racism in America has disappeared. I don't think anybody here is naive enough to say that. But for the president to go on TV and talk about how race relations have improved, it just blows my mind. What news network are you watching? You know, what are you being spoon-fed? And, you know, this comes all the way back down to, you know, when you talk about Chicago, that's in liberal la-la land. Where I get a reality doesn't exist once you cross over from Indiana into Illinois, or if you go any of the other ways, north, south, east, and west. It's like it suspends itself.
Well, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman, Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, and Jeremy Wiggins is joining us. What's next on your agenda there, Jeremy?
Well, we all know that you guys were talking about last segment that this Friday is President Trump's inauguration.
Right.
Well, he has got a busy day one agenda, according to him. Some of the things that he is promising to do, and we've seen some work going
on. Day one, like Friday is day one? Is that considered day one?
Yeah, I guess he's so between the inauguration and the party, he's got a lot of signing to do. And one of the things that we have seen is he promised to eliminate every unconstitutional executive order. And we were talking during the break. We think that the best thing to do with consensus is to just put them all on one piece of paper and just sign. And I don't know if that would even carry legal weight.
Yes, it will.
I don't know when he's going to have time for this. You've got got to go to the White House first and meet with the president and the first lady.
And the moving van.
Yeah,
I don't know if his stuff's there yet or not, but
then he's going down. He and the president. This is American tradition. Fred mentioned this earlier. He and the president will go down to the Capitol, and then Trump will be sworn in. He'll be President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Then he'll have a luncheon at the Capitol building, and then he'll have the parade as the parade goes down Constitutional. Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah,
and then he'll go to the White House. Then you got all the balls. Mm-hmm. That night that you, you know, I guess he's going to three or so.
Yeah.
Balls that, so I don't know, maybe midnight.
If Mr. Trump is listening to AFR.
Yes.
I'm sure he is.
Here's what I would suggest he do, because I have so much knowledge in this area, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm being sarcastic. But seriously, what he can do here is, Abe Hamilton and I were talking about this, and he knows more about it than I do. But he can, his advisors can have the executive orders that he would like to repeal or mm-hmm. to pull back. To pull back an executive order, you have to issue another executive order saying that you're pulling the other one back. And so he could have them all listed. You know, it'd probably be several sheets of paper, but it'll essentially say, I so-and-so do repeal the following executive orders, and then he lists them, and then he just signs his name at the bottom of the sheet of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can go to the balls.
You know, this has all been discussed over the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. He knows right now which ones he wants to do. And as Abe has suggested to you, one signature at the bottom of these 90 pages will do it.
What about if Trump calls down and talks to Obama and just says, can you help me out a little bit? Can you get your guys to get all your executive orders together and we'll just get some white ink? and, you know, change a couple words instead of hereby do authorize, hereby do not authorize. And we'll just reverse all these.
See, you guys are so smart. See, my time saving thing for President Trump would be to skip lunch and just pull the motorcade through the drive thru at McDonald's instead of sitting through the luncheon. Just go get some. Just
well,
go
you
pick
know,
up
there's
a Big
a
Mac
reason
on the way.
His transition team has said that he's only going to march in the parade for an hour and then only going to go to three balls. Obama went to like six or eight balls, marched for 2 or 3 hours. So there's a reason he's doing all that. I think it's because
he's a 70-year-old man, for one thing.
Yeah, he's going to go over to the Oval Office and sign some paper.
But he amazes me. You talk about 70-year-old man. This guy, during the campaign, everybody was shaking their heads. How does he keep doing this? How does he keep going? He's in amazing condition.
I guess so. I wonder if he sleeps in a suit and tie, though, would be my question. Have you ever seen – well, except on the golf course. If you'll see him on the golf course, he will. He'll wear. Some,
does he still wear the suspenders? Because that was like an iconic thing for his image, wasn't it?
I haven't seen him without the suit coat like in months.
No,
I just haven't seen him without the suit coat.
No, but I know who. If I were which company, if I work for this particular company, I would want to hire Donald Trump as my spokesperson, and that would be the Energizer Bunny.
Yes, that's
commercial.
Right.
I think he could replace the Energizer Bunny or beat the Energizer Bunny. Yeah. It was amazing the stamina, the physical stamina and mental stamina that it took for him to, I'm talking about President-elect Trump, to have those rallies. We were doing 4 or 5 rallies a day all over America for for several months. That doesn't include the primary campaign season.
And then after the rallies, he'd fly home to New York sometimes.
Yeah, he liked to sleep in his own bed. Of course, when you got a private jet like that, you can be home from almost anywhere in an hour or two. So it didn't once you get on your plane, you're in good shape. But still, and he did all that at pretty much his own expense, talking about all that travel and all the – he did raise some money for president, but didn't spend near – the amount of money that Hillary Clinton did. Well, interesting. What else you got over there, Jeremy?
Well, a new report that's come out from, it's not a conservative group, but it's still well known. The Council on Foreign Relations has reported that under the presidency of Barack Obama, you'll remember though, early on in his presidency, he received the Nobel.
That's right.
The Nobel War Prize, right? No, the Nobel Peace Prize.
Just for showing up.
Yeah. That's so all. NBC News followed this story, and the U.S. dropped an average of 72 bombs every day, or the equivalent of 3 an hour in 2016. According to the Council on Foreign Relations, 26,171 bombs were dropped on Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Libya, Yemen, Somalia, and Pakistan during the year 2016.
Now, are they including the drones?
Yes. This is the all the bombs that were dropped, which are primarily by drones these days.
Well, President Obama's the drone king, basically. This is not in the news every day, so it's hard to keep track of, hard to know what's going on. But evidently, he's authorized a lot of drone attacks on, I guess, Al Qaeda types, Taliban types. Is that right?
Yeah.
So you would have to get, wouldn't most people say that's to his credit? I mean, but he'd hit, wouldn't you say that?
Well, I would think, if you look at, I think, the bigger foreign policy military strategy picture.
I agree.
Concerning the Obama presidency, I think what might on the surface seem like, well, because the argument then comes up from some is, well, isn't dropping a bunch of bombs on people better than sending in soldiers? And some people would say, well, yeah, of course. But then you have to argue, is it okay to just indiscriminately bomb the way that the president has done?
He would probably say it's not indiscriminate. It's very discriminating. But your point is that the man who was chosen as the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize before – almost before he ever went into office. How long had he been in office before he was chosen?
It was like a year.
Oh, it was
very, very soon.
I didn't even think it
after.
Was a year.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Of course, the reason with that, he was a far left guy. And so,
did it because they were excited.
Yeah.
That's why
he didn't have to earn it.
No, he didn't earn
the Nobel Peace Prize. He just had to be a symbol of progressive politician who's a thinker and is not going to.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Start wars.
Donald Trump will not win the Nobel Peace Prize.
Write that down, Jeremy. Fred just made a prediction.
Okay. Did you guys see when President Obama awarded Joe Biden the Presidential Freedom Medal?
Oh, yes.
The size of that thing?
I know.
I saw somebody said that Joe Biden is now officially the Archduke of Liechtenstein because of the size of the medal that he was awarded. I mean, that thing's got to be 4 or 5 inches long and the same as wide as this giant star. But, I mean...
what was it now he won?
The Presidential Freedom Medal.
It's the highest award given to a civilian. Yeah. And I think there was another bunch got it at the White House back a couple of months ago, too. A lot of Hollywood actors, Tom Hanks, others.
If you just know the president, basically, you can get one.
Well, he won one, didn't he? But it wasn't the Presidential Freedom Award. It was awarded by some of his generals. They awarded him. People he selected awarded him with a medal. I mean, that would, you know, that'd be like my kids awarding me Dad of the Year, you know, even though I would deserve it. Every year.
Right.
But, you know, there was just a little bit of bias there.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Jeremy Wiggins and Fred Jackson. Hey, by the way, speaking of, we talked earlier about the singer from, what's her name?
Jennifer Holliday.
Yeah, backing out of singing the national anthem. She's a Tony Award-winning singer from Broadway. Anyway, she had agreed to sing the national anthem at the inauguration, and then the LGBT community jumped all over her and said, how can you do this? You owe your career to us, and Trump is our enemy. Basically, that's what they've said here. And even though there's no evidence that Trump's ever been the enemy of the LGBT crowd, but she withdrew, man. She withdrew. And now... Interesting. There are only a few, but there are some Hollywood stars that are speaking out in reaction to what's happening with the pressure from the Hollywood left to Hollywood left. That's redundant. but anyway, to not legit quote legitimize Donald Trump. Well, there's this actress in. After Harrison Ford, I don't know anymore. You know, Indiana Jones, and maybe a few years after that. After that, I don't keep up with actors and actresses. I go see a movie on occasion, but sometimes don't even know who the stars are anymore. But there's this actress, Zoe Saldana, Zoe. I'm reading this on Fox News.
Yeah, now people who are Star Trek fans
will recognize her.
I will recognize her. She was the African-American lady, and she was the communications expert. And
she plays Uhura in the new movie.
Okay, yes.
Not the original, not the TV shows, but the new movies with Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto.
So that's she would be considered, I guess, an A-list actress if you're in Star Trek movies and you're one of the main characters. I mean, anyway, actress. I don't know if you pronounce it Zoe or Zoe. Saldana. She is the aforementioned actress you were talking about. She says that Hollywood stars are, quote, arrogant and in how they've treated the Trump presidency and the presidential run. And she says, we got cocky. I guess she means liberal Hollywood got cocky and became arrogant. And we also became bullies, end of quote.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, she said we got cocky and became arrogant, and we also became bullies. Basically, what she's arguing is, here's what she says, again, quoting her, and she says, we were trying to single out a man, that is Trump, for all these things he was doing wrong, and that created empathy in a big group of people in America that felt bad for him and that are believing in his promises. The 38-year-old actress suggested that, quote, people continue to be strong and educate ourselves and stand by equal rights and treat everyone with respect, end of quote. But basically she's saying that Hollywood's arrogance in favor of Hillary Clinton worked, backfired.
Backfired, yeah.
Backfired because it created a backlash among a lot of Americans who didn't like being preached to and told who to vote for by singers and actors and actresses.
I don't think feel bad was the emotion. I think it just made them angry because Hollywood has, they haven't figured this out yet. And in a certain circumstance, she is right. We who are not millionaires do not like millionaires telling us how we should feel because you are completely out of touch with the American people. I think it was another celebrity, Mark Wahlberg, came out there and said, I don't know why Hollywood is speaking out because the American people know that they're we're out of touch with the American people. And I think only Mark Wahlberg is saying that because he owns a burger joint called Wahlburgers. There's a TV show and everything. But he goes there. He flips burgers. He talks with people. He is down here on, quote, our level, where a lot of those people are not. And so they exist in, you know, the utopia, the liberal utopia of Hollywood completely. Like, I think back, one of the best examples I can think back of this was when Dave Matthews came out and said that Americans need to stop flying all around because they're creating this huge carbon footprint. And the reporter sat there and asked him, goes, but you fly an entire tour bus load full of people and equipment all around the world every single day. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that make you a hypocrite? And he says, well, no, because I'm doing something about it. That's what they don't understand is you think about the carbon footprint that making a movie would leave on there, and they're the ones lecturing us that we need to drive smaller cars and switch to electric and spend all of our money. And that's where the American people think it's ridiculous.
Well, I think part of Trump's election was that just frustration with the elite, quite frankly. People are fed up with that nonsense. You know, you mentioned the Hollywood actors and actresses. I was surprised Nicole Kidman, who is quite known and well-known in Hollywood circles, she has rebuffed all of this criticism of Trump. Not that she's a Trump fan, but she thinks Hollywood is on the wrong track in taking him on. Of course, then there are actors like John Voight, who I think is going to be at the inauguration.
Yeah.
I read that somewhere, that he is going to be there. Now, John Voight is an outspoken conservative. I remember back in 2012, he did an interview with us at the Republican convention. In fact, the reporter we sent down there sat at a table with John Voight, and John Voight had come to dinner with me, and they went and had a steak together. I mean, he's not afraid to be seen with conservatives. He's done very well in Hollywood. But he's one of those rare ones who says, this is where I am with my ideology. Now, Hollywood, if you don't want me, that's fine. But he's such a great actor that they keep picking him up for a lot of these movies that people like, I think, Tom Cruise have been in and others. But, you know, there are some in Hollywood, Patricia Heaton, or other, you know, from what Everybody Loves Raymond days, and now she has her own show. She's very conservative. In fact, she's heading a pro-life event in Washington coming up in the next few weeks. So there are some conservatives in Hollywood who are just fed up with the liberals that they have to work with every day.
Just go ahead and go make your movies. I mean, that doesn't making a movie does not make you an expert on anything.
Exactly.
You could, you know, Tom Cruise made a movie about assassinating Hitler, but that doesn't make him an expert on World War II Germany.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just throwing that one out there. Just movies do not make you a subject matter expert on anything, including what's best for the American people. The American people will decide through the elections what they feel is best for them at the time.
Yep.
Laurie Ingraham, the conservative talk show host who appears on news shows and such, she wrote a book one time about Hollywood and the entertainment industry always feeling the need to speak up for liberal politicians and liberal policies. Her title of her book was Shut Up and Sing.
That's good.
Just shut up and sing. Nobody's here to hear you. I read Billy Joel, the singer, comment on that recently. He said, nobody wants to hear me tell them who to vote for.
Yeah.
You know, they pay the tickets to come hear me sing with the songs. They don't want.
Toby Keith will sure do the inauguration if that woman's not going to.
Yeah. Yep. We'll be back in 5 minutes with another half hour of Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio. American